Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine, the podcast where we keep it real to real. And my God, we have Studio Ghibli this time around, and here with Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind.
I would say this is more like I was calling it Miyazaki March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As like most of the movies we're watching were Ghibli. However, this first one was not technically Ghibli.
It's not a Ghibli property.
Introduced it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, if you go to the Wikipedia page, it is not under the Ghibli name. It
was
is
this
strictly
dub?
Under
was this
Miyazaki.
Dub,
it, the new dub might have been.
Okay.
But the property itself is not under Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, so technically Nausicaa is not a Disney princess.
No, she's not.
That is true. Yeah.
However, Mononoke is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is true. Actually, is Studio Ghibli under Disney now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. In fact, if you go to...
Pokeballs.
If you go to the... Is it the Magic Kingdom? Or is it Epcot? Is that Epcot?
That's a good question. I can't use the phone at the moment.
I believe it's Epcot because we went to it. There is a little Studio Ghibli museum. And you could buy products from Studio Ghibli. I actually have a frying pan. It's like a crepe,
like a single
pancake.
Egg serving
kind of
pan.
And it's got Calcifer, the character Calcifer. He's a flame. You'll meet him when we watch Howl.
Yeah.
Voiced
by Billy Crystal.
I have a frying pan that's of Calcifer that I got for Christmas birthday.
Something
from my
remember.
Sister-in-law.
You also have a Howl's Moving Castle ramen bowl set.
I do. That also came from Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
when
cool.
We went to Epcot, it was actually super neat to walk in like the little thing because you get to see like they had cells of like animation cells up on the wall, like real hand drawn stuff.
Familiar. With Epcot, I mainly remember my feet hurt and the Weeb store.
Yes, the Weeb
because
store.
Because there's in the Japan section of Epcot, they have a fantastic kind of everything.
It's anime.
Everything
it's so
anime, Japanese Weeb kind of thing you could get. And right upstairs from that was where sushi place.
It's a hibachi.
The hibachi place.
It's a hibachi restaurant directly upstairs from the Weeb place. And it's
where I discovered the joys of yum-yum sauce.
What's in it?
Well, yeah, what is that?
It's like, what is in it? It's most, again, I can't use my phone right now. It's mostly like heavily spiced mayonnaise, and I'm sure someone listening is screaming at their podcatcher right now, like,
mayonnaise.
No, you're an idiot.
It's a definite mayonnaise base, but it's delicious.
Yeah,
it's called yum yum sauce because it's yum.
Yeah, I will look up the recipe and send it to you guys. But yeah, I figured out how to make it afterwards. I'm like, I need to have this stuff in my life.
That's a good idea, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, with Nausicaa, by the way, we introduced ourselves. I'm Nick.
I'm Cass.
I'm Dan.
I'm Joss.
Hey, we have one more time over Zoom just because of a myriad of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And,
We are mostly in mostly through COVID on this end. So next week we should be back in the same place.
Yeah, it should be well, but hopefully last time there wasn't really any noise issues, so pretty well, so we should be good.
Should be fine.
Yeah, should be good here. I don't know whether or not we're going to have a fantasy casting today.
I don't think it's going to be... Fantasy casting with animated movies is hard unless you could really think about, like, I think this actor would have been great in this particular role.
Yeah.
Flying vehicle thing.
Yeah.
I think it's still work.
Yeah, we'll see.
We've got Patrick Stewart in this.
And I'm sorry, you can't get better than Patrick Stewart.
No. Patrick Stewart as, you know, as the Wilford Brimley wizard.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, apparently when you get old enough, like, as a male in this world, you're like, mustache slash beard just consumes the bottom half of your face and starts to and just starts to expand.
Yeah, but that's such a Miyazaki thing, though.
Yeah.
It's very much Miyazaki art style right there. You'll meet another one. Another bearded man in another thing.
Is that the one? Is that the spider guy?
Marco. Well, spider guy, too.
Spider guy and the soot sprites.
Yep.
Looking mofo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's very much a Miyazaki style. My whole thing at this with this one is you don't realize that Nausicaa is wearing pants.
Oh yeah, until at first.
Like, oh god, yeah.
Later
when we first see her and she's walking around, I'm like, is she wearing tan pants or is she just, or she just have bare legs? Because this seems unwise.
Now here's the deal:
she's flying around and you see her butt, and it's
yeah.
Like,
then we get a straight up upskirt. I'm like, oh, it is pants. Okay,
yeah.
Good. I wasn't sure because sometimes the color looks a smidge paler than her skin, but right. Sometimes yeah. It's like the same kind of color.
I was questioning a lot.
Flying around yeah. Commando, what
I'm
is
pretty that? Sure that it's pants, and I'm pretty sure they're tan because they live on the outskirts of a desert. She goes in the desert a lot, so
they're, probably like, linen.
They're probably linen.
Cool.
Like, I put a lot of thought into this. Because I was like, why would... Now, I can maybe kind of understand the animators maybe trying to, I don't know, utilize color in certain ways in this, especially if...
Yeah.
Now, okay, I read the manga for this.
Mm. Was there any differences?
Yeah, there's many, many huge differences. Oh. Not in a, oh my god, they changed this and changed that sort of way.
It's not quite the ending of Watchmen change.
Right, they dig deep in the manga. Miyazaki did the manga. It's, and honestly, this movie and this whole thing is very much about environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, I know.
Yeah, save the planet.
Save the planet,
fucking kill
because
you.
Otherwise the planet's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they pretty much all that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you expect a small eater roll by at any point.
Right?
Molly! Yeah. Or just your Eve just to float down or something like
right?
that.
It's there's just I see you made that reference and I kept just going, it's an ugly planet. A bug planet.
It's an own planet.
So I kept going into Starship Troopers.
You even though fantasy casting shit.
Well, that's just it. It's
Just this past like week or so, a game came out, Helldivers 2, which is basically Starship Troopers.
Oh, there you go. I just
have Neil Patrick Harris.
It does not, unfortunately.
Therefore, it's not. Yeah.
Just making Agnes Skinner jokes for Obama.
Right. Yeah.
And then when she gets kind of like talking doom and gloom, and I'm like, thanks, Obama.
Yeah,
kept doing that
that's
too.
That's exactly like, but Obama. It's like, okay, I can't hear this properly. Okay.
Now, remember, this movie came out in 1984.
Oh, right. The soundtrack lets you know that.
I know.
The movie was 84. This particular dub, I
this
think,
dub
was early
2005.
2000. Was like, yeah, early 2000s. Because okay. Shia LaBeouf
is grown.
He's not a baby.
Yeah, he's got a deeper voice.
What was his character's name? Arlo?
Arlo is not him.
I know Gall is.
Yeah.
He gets like two lines in the whole movie.
Gall is Frank Welker.
He's Frank Welker. He's the original voice of Megatron. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything Transformers related, I'm going to pick up on.
No, he's Azbell.
Azbell.
Yeah.
I had the A right.
You did.
The Pirate Boy is Azbell?
Azbell is the sort of love interest.
Yeah, Azbell was Shadow of the Beer.
Gunship Kid.
Yeah,
he's Gunship
the
Kid.
The Pedgite pilot.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
The thing is, I believe
those damn Tolmekians.
The one who does Obama, if I'm remembering correctly, she has done a couple of other Ghibli films, and she always voices the same character.
Yeah.
The same type of character.
Is she one of the witches from in Howl?
I think so.
Is she the Witch of the Waste?
No, she's not the Witch of the Waste.
Yeah, it is. Truss McNeil has done, like, pretty much like a Frank Welker's done every animal and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tress MacNeille has done so much that you really don't know. Like, she's...
Yeah, I'm looking through her stuff
now. She's like a chameleon, the way her voice goes. Same thing with... Now, granted, he's more video games, but John St. John has been in so many video games, and his voice is elastic. He is both Duke Nukem, and he is also one of the random scientists from Half-Life. Like, his voice can go in all sorts of directions.
This woman is owned by Disney. This woman is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
She's an android. She's powered by Disney magic.
Just to give a few things. I mean, she was in...
powered by pure whimsy.
Yeah. She was in Spaceballs, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Rover Dangerfield, a very short-lived cartoon. Yeah.
I can see that in my... Yeah. Oh, God. Before my brain.
Time, Rugrats movie... Winnie the Pooh, the Scooby-Doo, she was Agnes Skinner in The Simpsons.
Was she any other voices? Because I feel like she did...
Seymour!
MacNeille also did,
The Simpsons.
Yes, Tress MacNeille did, what was the original voice of Martin.
She's Crazy Cat Lady, right? She's gonna throw cats at you.
Crazy Cat Lady. Cat.
Oh, she's also in Avatar The Last Airbender. Go her.
No kidding.
Yep.
So there it is. Yeah. Yeah, Lilo and Stitch, Leroy's Mickey Mouse, Simpsons movie.
Like I said, she's owned by Disney.
Yeah. At this point, yeah. Yeah, so it is there, just a few of them. Sweet Old Lady, Agnes Skinner, Colleen, Medicine Woman, Mrs. Skinner.
Oh my God, yeah. Okay, so let's just say when I said that she was in other...
mom in Futurama too.
Miyazaki movies. I wasn't joking because she's in Kiki's Delivery Service, Castle in the Sky, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, My Neighbor Totoro, Porco Rosso, My Neighbor the Yamadas, and Pompoko. She's been in a bunch of other Miyazaki films.
And this one was a little bit on the slow side because it took a little while for me to get into.
Yes. Yeah, it does. It has a slow start. It's a lot of this movie is the visual aspect more so than like dialogue and plot, because this movie is gorgeous.
It is
all old hand drawn stuff. It is like every cell hand drawn. I love it.
I was just thinking, well, this one has so much more plot after we accidentally watched My Neighbor Totoro. And I'm like, okay, 20 minutes towards the end. Now we got some plot, but. Yeah. So this one was action-packed in comparison.
Mm-hmm. I love that glider.
Yeah.
I absolutely love her glider.
Glider's a freaking...
I was wondering when you see this, how much arm and shoulder strength does she have?
Mm. Oh, she's got to be jacked.
Remember the scene when her father gets murdered? She literally hacks 10 people to death.
Which was pretty awesome.
Which was amazing.
She kind of comes off initially, maybe at the very end, like a Mary Sue. Like, she's got the plot armor to heck. She's so much better than all these giant soldiers.
Oh, she is so much definitely a Mary Sue. Because
she is the prophecy. They assumed the subject of the prophecy would be a he, but no.
There's things, too, in the prophecy that at the very end, where I had to explain some of the stuff to Dan because he didn't get it either.
Or something.
Oh, yeah, like I was like, okay, her dress turned blue.
It's like, but that's the blood of the Ohm. That's why her dress was dyed blue, because it's the blood of the Ohm.
Oh.
That was some bullshit princess magic.
No. It's literally she's drenched in blood.
Yeah.
That when
on her face then.
Arbus, when Shia LaBeouf runs up and hugs her, like he should be like, "You're sticky." Ew.
Yeah. They needed a sense of humor. I mean, she's also the princess, and she's the prophecy fulfiller, and she
She's 16 years old.
Seriously?
Yeah, she's 16 years old.
Oh,
She's legitimately just a child.
And she's an expert fighter who took on like 8 guys and killed a bunch of them. And she She's friend to every animal, and I don't know
if she can speak. Like, it's like, I don't know if she's just got like, they never actually really go into it in the movie. But she's basically, she's kind of like a beastmaster. She has the ability to calm and not necessarily full out speak to animals, but like get on their wavelength and be like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Right, and have your understanding. I take it to like,
it'd be kind of funny if like, a bug ate her, though.
Yeah. I equate it to Spock with the whales.
Yeah.
She's got some kind of, it's like, it may not be like an intuitive thing, or it is intuitive. It's not something she can straight up control. It's just, she has an intuitive connection with animals. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the way I looked at it.
She's like a magic princess, I guess.
Yeah, the big savior of all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the end almost goes into too good for the sinful Earth Mary Sue shit.
Right.
It doesn't, and also, don't let how many people tried to befriend wild animals and get their faces ripped off or something?
Right?
Like that guy that lived with bears.
Yeah. Yeah, you
know, we found out he got eaten by bears. Oh, weird.
My dad told me I never amount to shit. Well, I proved him wrong. I'm glad that you all were in sync on that one.
So yeah, basically it's just showing, the movie starts off and it's just kind of showing life in the Valley of the Wind.
Started in the...
Like it starts off in the poison forest, poison jungle.
And they're all they kind of interchange the words. So,
and like we're initially following. Why can't I, Lord?
Yappa?
Your Ruba, Michael Ruba.
Well, there's several old guys on their chocobo camel things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so fun fact. That those are the original designs for chocobos. The original person whose name is completely escaping me right now,
Final Fantasy took
heavy inspiration from this movie to create a lot of stuff in Final Fantasy, including chocobos.
And a lot of the Magitek that is in the Final Fantasy series is based off of like the Tolmekian warships and you know, stuff like that.
And the Tolmekian troops. I saw another one with the face mask, like pretty much like a Robotnik type thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
That face mask is very similar to one you can get in Final Fantasy 14.
Right.
And I could very easily make Nausicaa as a costume in 14. Like very easily.
It's not an appealing design. It's like you have two flappity walrus dongs on your face.
And they flap around when you talk.
Yeah, I don't question the design because
if they're functional.
As long as they're doing their job, I guess it's fine.
Oh yeah. Are you leading or are you leading?
I think we're kind of getting around on this one, see what goes.
I mean, this one kind of starts off, you're in the jungle. First off, you see Lord Yappa. Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Lord Yappa, and I know that's not
Lord right. Yappa. That's like knighting the buffalo from Last Airbender.
I know, that's why I keep
Lord Appa. Yip, yip.
I can't believe they call him Yappa. Well, Bells the squirrels thing.
Oh, yeah, the little fox squirrel thing is basically Momo.
Is Momo from Last Airbender. So
his name is Titu.
Titu. So you've got him coming through, and you've got people like...
That seems like a little tater tot.
I heard tater, I heard that too, yeah.
Teto, I think is his name.
Yeah.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I can't use my phone at the moment.
I think it's Pepper. But you've got Lord Yippo running through the world.
Through the desert wastes, and he ends up in
He isn't near the toxic jungle. He's getting chased by... Is he getting chased by... I was about to call them Ood. Oh my god.
Okay, I'm going to IMDb because we can't remember any of these names. Of anything?
Oom. They're called Oom.
The Oom?
Oom.
The Oom, yeah.
I thought it was Oom.
It's Oom. Yeah. Oh. I kept wanting to call him Ood because for some reason it's like Doctor yeah. Who's in my head.
Right. Right, yeah, well, and those are the important ones here, greatly feared by the Nazca's world here.
Giant
beasts. Giant ones here that go through the, like, really, like, I had the vision of, like, it's like giant trucks.
Yeah, they call them trilobites.
But giant trucks that just go through everything.
They're basically big brain bugs with armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a really gross roly-poly.
Yeah.
And they grow to massive size, and she finds the, like, shed shell of one in the toxic forest and, like, steals one of its, like, eyelids, like, breaks it off from the thing.
Now, that was one of the things I'm like, okay, this is definitely, like, an American dub here.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like, no other country in the world would do it. Hey, there's this thing. Hey, it came right off. I can't fly back with this.
Yeah.
Everybody else has got to see it. It's like the American version of a bad smell.
Yep.
The thing is, there might have actually been some dialogue there, but it's probably a lot different.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm like, okay. That's
a normal reaction. Hey, this is cool, and this will be useful for building materials. I got to show somebody.
Yeah, well, the whole shell, I think it was. Everything was just that eyelid, was it? Or?
Well, it was... Speaking generally.
Yeah.
Well, it's obvious this place is, they reuse things a lot, and they use their environment a lot, and that's something, like, she's excited because she found this, and it's like, oh, it's still intact.
I can use
this for something, like a window, or a shield, or something.
Playground equipment.
Yeah.
For all these random children that are all over the place in this movie.
Right.
Aren't they carrying it over their head at some point?
Yeah.
But she's going through the jungle, and she
on her glider thingy.
On her glider thingy, yeah, and she saves Lord Yuppa.
She saves Lord Yuppa because she realizes he's in danger from hearing, like, the gunshots, and she uses her glider and, like, a insect lure thing, like a spinny kind of noise thing to kind of
distract and
calm the Oom down, and she saved Lord Yuppa. And
then hear Patrick Stewart talking about how, like, how could she do that? Wow, this is insane.
Nothing but a glider and an insect thing, or whatever.
I don't think she used that until the thing that crashed, or something. I think right now she was just talking at it, and just like, what?
She used incense. There was incense that she used.
Oh. Mm.
It was a little thing of incense, because he says something like, just with like Oom bait or something, and Oom bait and a glider, and she managed to calm it and send it back to its home.
Yeah.
And then he joins her on her way back to the Valley of the Wind, and then you find out that they know each other pretty well. He's known her since she was a child, and she wants to know when he's coming back for good.
And
he's pretty important person in this tribe.
He's a wandering swordsman who goes from, like, city to city and brings, like, news of the world to everyone. And it's like he is seeing the spread of the toxic jungle as it's destroying villages and reducing people to just brittle, like, fungus-laden bone, and just killing off, like, humanity.
I thought the deal was the pollen would kill you if you breathe it, but also, I guess, degenerative disease?
Well, everything he touches, when he's in that village, and he picks up the doll, and it just disintegrates in his hands. He tries to open the door, and the whole thing collapses in. Like, it's just, it's the fungus and the poison spores, and all of that is just, it just eats away at everything around it. Like, if he had stayed in that building any longer, the whole thing could have just, you know, collapsed down on him as
just sand. I was thinking that this had to be inspired by Chernobyl.
Oh, probably. If not Chernobyl, then, you know, Japan's had how many nuclear, Hiroshima, I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of it is inspired by, and most of them are set around, you know, at least where I've read the Miyazaki stories, the more famous ones are centered around post-World War II. You know, or My Neighbor Totoro. But I thought about this, and from what you're saying, I'm like, wait a minute. This is because I saw a video recently on how lucky we were that Chernobyl could have been a lot worse.
Mm.
And it was from the alternate history.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I saw that. I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. This is probably where they drew that from.
But it's entirely possible.
Wasn't that the later 80s?
No. No.
I don't remember what.
No, 83.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I just picked it.
Well, Miyazaki was already writing the manga. The manga came out in 82.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm thinking more towards, like, himself and, you know, the culture. Probably more of a Hiroshima type, you know, people just, you know, disintegrating after a nuclear explosion, poisoning the earth. I mean, there's a lot there.
Well, there's a lot with Studio Ghibli. I mean, there is, we get into next week with My Neighbor Totoro. That movie was written to be played as a double feature with the Graveyard of the Fireflies.
Oh, God. There's a reason why I didn't put Graveyard of the Fireflies.
It's just Grave of the Fireflies.
Grave of the Fireflies, sorry.
Fireflies, okay, yeah.
But even still, there's a reason why I didn't.
Yeah, who the fuck wants to watch a movie about dying kids?
Yeah, right. I don't feel like ugly crying.
I don't feel like crying right now, so
right.
I didn't.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I was just reading some of the back end stuff for it. I'm like, ooh, it is.
I mean, it is beautiful. That movie is beautiful,
right?
And it's soul wrenching.
True.
Like it's so. If there's those reasons where I was like, I can't subject. I don't want to subject anybody to this. This is just gonna be painful.
No.
Themes,
but I'd rather see this.
Right.
When, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of chose the ones I chose because I chose my favorites. a couple of them. Well, no, I don't want to say they're more lighthearted, but they're definitely not as heavily thought provoking. I guess is where I want to go with this.
Oh, let's be honest. My Neighbor Totoro is not incredibly deep.
No.
I didn't do Kiki's Delivery Service because that one is also very sweet.
Right.
But I was just like, Nausicaa and I have a history. She and I have been through some shit. I read her while I was working at the bookstore.
Yeah, I can understand why, because I was looking through some of it, and, you know, not only with the parent death and things, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I can see a little bit of stuff.
I had watched initially, what's funny is I had watched Nausicaa originally 17 or 18 years, 17 years ago, and I watched the original dub of it, which I believe the original movie, when it came out in the U.S. anyway, it was titled something else. It was not Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Hold on, I can actually pull it up.
Can I just get my fart joke out of the way?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Valley with wind.
Yeah.
Always wind flowing through the crack in the earth.
And air that can kill you.
Oh, but that's not the valley fart though.
No.
It's upwind, the evil jungle.
Indeed it is. It originally came out it was released in the US under a different dubbing company. And it was released under the word under the title Warriors of the Wind. And that's the one that I watched because I watched it on VHS with my ex-fiance.
Oh, shit. All right.
It's like, depending on what version of Akira you got your hands on.
Right.
Whether it's actually the good dub or if it sounds like everyone's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not sure Nausicaa's voice, I mean, it sounded fine, but at least at the beginning, she's so emotionless.
Yes. I'm not sure if that was just because... And here's the thing, too, with that, too, is that at the very beginning of the movie, you can't see her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so you could have put anything there. A lot of the times when animators and like translation and everything else, they try to actually link words to the way the character is animated. And when it's especially difficult for this when you're dealing with animation from another country.
Yeah, that's why some anime, like the American dubs, sound like so kind of stilted is the word, like kind of jittery, because they're trying to match up with Japanese mouth movements, and that's how we end up with Speed Racer going, we need to get into the car, and that's how we get that kind of thing, because they needed to fill in for the lip syncing to a language that doesn't match ours.
It
actually happens quite a bit. The American, it's really funny because it was during Aladdin, actually, when they were filming, when they were doing the recordings and stuff for Aladdin.
Aladdin?
When Robin Williams got to the booth, they had to calm him down and, like, make him do takes properly, because he would just go off on, because they just let him go. They would just let him do his thing.
He would just go off on tangents.
And they had to stop him and be like, you need to do this because we need to get it down so we can animate the mouth movements to your words. So you can't keep giving us multiple takes with different things,
like you're
because
killing
we don't
our,
know which ones to keep.
You're killing our animation budget.
Ow, our hands.
Pretty much. It was one of those, like, we need to match up your voice to the animation. Another studio that does that a lot now is Nickelodeon.
True.
Yeah, Nickelodeon, especially like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the updated one, they basically had everybody, all four of the voice actors for the Turtles, in the same booth, doing their lines together, A, because it was cool to have everybody together, but B, because they could animate their voices together.
That's a good idea.
You talked about the most recent movie?
I'm talking about the TV show.
Oh,
so talking like, Nickelodeon TV show.
The newest
80s. No, I'm talking the one that came out like a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like super recent.
Yeah.
I for a very long time I wanted to be a voice actor. For a very long time. So I did a lot of research.
Dang.
It's really funny, actually. Funimation did this thing a long time ago where they had the voice actors for Dragon Ball Z filming in the booth. So they would put a camera in the booth and you could watch them do the voice acting.
You just watch Sean Schemmel screaming until he passes out.
Actually, no, that was Eric Vail. Eric Vail actually passed out in the booth from screaming, thanks Dragon Ball Z.
Imagining what if they... ridiculous it would look if everybody used the clutch cargo method with the lip capture. The actor lips on the characters.
It's like a TikTok trend going on now where it's just like the clutch cargo style mouth and just the eyeballs on certain things.
Oh, God.
I want to see that in a mainstream anime. Like the next season of Demon Slayer is just animated like that. It's just still frames. And it's just animated like that. See if you can stay a fan of it then.
Giving you a look.
I am getting the the visual medium of podcasting. I am getting the death glare from Joss right now.
Leave my Demon Slayer alone, you bastard.
Yeah.
All I hear is occasional screaming and then what sounds like Vegeta.
It's Shonen, baby. Shonen does this. It's screaming and fighting. That's Shonen. It's great.
Not all screaming and fighting, but
it's mostly screaming and fighting.
Sometimes they go to get their driver's license. And then it's screaming and fighting.
Sometimes the yellow hair boy has to pretend to be dress up as a geisha and do some undercover work.
The three of them have to dress up like geishas and have to do undercover work. And Inosuke actually looks really pretty, and everybody's just like, what the fuck? And Inosuke's like, I hate this.
He blended right in.
I guess he's just like, I hope this doesn't awaken anything in me.
No. You don't know Inosuke. Inosuke walks around with a pig head on most of the time.
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
It's the head of his mother.
What? It's Cubone?
Sort of.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was a boar that he killed or something.
It was his mother's. It's his, the one that raised him. The boar that raised him. That's her head. Oh,
raised by boars.
Yep. Yeah.
How come they never did that in the TV show?
It's in the manga. He's raised by boars. And honestly, his backstory is super tragic that I'm not going to get into right now because it would take too long. And you guys haven't seen it yet. It's coming up. So, yeah.
Don't worry, listeners. She'll regale me with that for the next 3 hours after we record.
And I've read the whole thing, and I love it very much. But that's not the point. We watched Nausicaa.
Yes.
Yeah.
We watched Nausicaa, and Nausicaa is essentially be nice to the environment.
Yeah.
Be nice to the environment.
Save the planet, or it'll fucking kill you.
Be nice to the environment.
Wow. Also,
other factions are in this movie, like war.
The Tolmekians.
The Tolmekians, which is really funny because they're in the manga, but the Pazuzu. Yeah, they're. I don't remember if they are or not because there's another faction that's not called. It's been a long time since I've read the manga.
As far as the movie, as far as the human factions go, we just have like the three.
We have three. There are three major ones. Well, actually, two major ones and one on the side, because the people in the Valley of the Wind were just like,
they just
hey,
want to
we're
be
just
left
chilling
alone.
Over here.
Yeah.
We're, they're looking at the game board.
Right. We're like, we're upwind from the terribleness. We're right near the water, so we get the ocean breezes, so that actually takes care of a lot of the toxic stuff. We can grow plants, and like, we're healthy over here. Everybody else can fuck off and leave us alone. And then the Tolmekian show up and they're like, nah, we're gonna fuck your shit up, bro.
It's like, yeah, Tolmekian ship crashes in the valley.
Because this is when it turns into Attack on Titan.
Yep.
Okay, I really need to know what I kept looking at the bottom of their big giant airships that they kept.
How were they supposed to land, right?
I know, like, haven't you idiots invented, landing gear?
Yeah.
But no. I looked in one of the other ones I noticed had, like, sled tracks on
the bottom? Like the barge that the hostages were being towed in that had like a sled runner thing, so I can kind of see how that
what's really funny is if you pay attention later on after the Tolmekians get there, and I keep calling them Tolmekians, that's not right, but I'm going to continue to call them Tolmekians because I can't remember the word
Tolmekian.
Yeah, that whatever,
you're just leaving out a syllable.
All right, the Tolmekians, when they hold everybody hostage.
They show up, start murdering people, and then one of them comes out and says, "We're here in peace." Bullshit,
the
you
princess,
are.
The right? fucking princess walks. Well, first off, they, you know, again, Nausicaa is hanging out with, you know, King Yappa, and that's where I keep getting it from.
I think it was Yappa.
He's not King Yama. Okay,
Dragon Ball Z.
King Yama has a beard, but it's not quite as majestic as Lord Yupa's.
Anyway, Lord Yupa, she keeps hanging out with him and they're talking about stuff, and then they get invaded by the Tolmekians.
For no good goddamn
reason.
For
no good reason. Like, they just show up with this. Well, first off, that's not true.
There was an airship that was crashing, and it crashes in the valley. And they tried to save
the
people in it.
She really tried to save them. She really did. She got out there. She
girl on the plane.
Turn. She sees a girl in a window.
Yep.
Who's
a hostage.
Who's a hostage.
Because the Tolmekians are assholes.
Yeah.
Just in general.
And she tries to save her, but she dies. But not before.
Who is she undressing her?
She unbuttoned the top buttons of her shirt.
And we never really see what she saw that made her freak out.
Yeah, so she saw something there that made her freak out, but I think it was because she was dying.
She's gonna try CPR? I think
she was gonna try CPR. Maybe she was trying to think maybe her clothes were too restrictive and she can't breathe. Like, I don't know. I don't think it was a sexual assault.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I want to think Nausicaa's a good person.
Yeah. But the girl dies after saying, basically, make sure that everything in that cargo plane burns.
Burn the cargo.
And the cargo doesn't fully burn because there's something really big in it.
And it's like the core of one of the ancient warriors, which were like basically Attack on Titan titans that had laser breath. And they were the reason the Earth was destroyed 1,000 years ago because they just incinerated the shit out of everything.
Oh no, the rumbling, except with fire.
Yeah. And I can't remember. I believe these things were actually human made.
Yes.
They
were like the ultimate like war machine created by humans, and we just basically nuked the living shit out of ourselves and the entire planet.
Yep.
That is why when I saw those, I'm like, okay, Wally's got to be near.
And I got mutant giant bugs.
Yeah.
You turned your planet into Starship Troopers.
We are Klandathu.
We are Klandathu. It's an ugly planet. A bug planet.
No, that's Planet P.
I know. But anyway, so they bring this thing, this huge, what you find out later is basically a womb. They bring this thing back to, or at least start bringing it back towards the Valley of the Wind. Yes. And that's when the Tomekians show up, like almost directly after that. Because they've been following this ship. And the ship holds really important cargo.
Yeah, the Tomekian fleet shows up and they just basically start massacring everybody. They go directly into the bedridden king's chamber and gun him the fuck down.
For no reason.
He had a sword. But
he had a sword, but he was bedridden. He's only going to be like, get over here, I want to hit you. You know, that's one of those situations.
It's like Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the Black Knight.
I'm invincible!
Get over here, bite your legs off.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
It's just, it's so pointless. Like, that his murder, the king's murder, is so pointless. And then, as soon as Nausicaa realizes, oh shit, there's an invasion, oh shit, my father, runs in, sees her father dead, and then sees everybody who murdered him, and she just goes fucking ape.
And just takes out, like, 8 or 9 trained knights.
Oh, yeah.
In her absolute rage. And you know what? I get it, because there's no reason for any of this. And then all of a sudden, Princess Uma Thurman shows up and says, we're here in peace. Stop this. Like, who the fuck you are?
That's not I really wanted, you know, Nausicaa to be voiced by Uma Thurman in that scene.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the bride would have made a lot more sense there.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you?
Oh.
Yeah, true, yeah.
For a second there, I kind of did.
With Goldmember, you know? Yeah, good callback. Yeah, with Goldmember Princess there saying everything's okay. You know,
right.
Everything's fine. No, it fucking isn't.
Yeah.
You killed my dad.
Yeah.
And then the villagers start freaking out or something.
Well, villagers start freaking out, but the Tomekians kind of take over and like herd everybody together.
And threaten them with tanks and take all of their weapons and their farming equipment and everything.
The first thing they do is they threaten Nausicaa because they're like, if you keep, you know, basically you keep up your shit, we're going to kill all of your people.
Yeah.
No.
Because we're here in peace. That's the thing that really gets me. It's like, we are here in peace. The fuck you are.
True, although we find out their angle is like they want to burn the toxic jungle to save humanity, but they're still assholes about it.
Right. Like, their goal may be, you know, maybe honorable.
Giant and control it.
Mm.
Right. And that's when Obama. Her. She basically comes through with her, you know, blind prophetess magic.
She gets in the way of the tank, says, and what are you going to do? You going to shoot a blind woman? I'm right here. Come on, asshole, do it.
So she comes with the whole, you can't burn the, you can't burn the jungle, you can't burn the forest. It's not going to work.
You're just going to make things worse. And they're like, fuck off, you weird old woman. We're going to do what we want to do because we're Tolmekians and we make bad decisions as a people. That is what we do.
So we're going to, you know, kidnap your princess and bring her with us, basically to keep you guys compliant.
Did anyone explain to them about the why if you do any kind of gunshots or fires, it makes all the bugs come out and swarm and...
Even if they did, they'd probably just open fire out of pure spite anyway.
Nausicaa did try to tell them. She did try to say, stop, you know, you're going to enrage them. Stop, you're just making them mad, and that's just going to bring more.
That's when Evil Princess shot her gun.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And because she's an idiot.
And it's like, they don't want to listen because they think they're smarter than everybody else. Like, we came up with this plan. We're obviously smarter than you. Though you guys have been living here for 300 years basically untouched, but we know what we're doing.
We know better.
Right.
America. I mean, Tolmekia.
I thought it was a metaphor for America.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come in, we're going to start shooting and say, we know better than you do.
You're not wrong.
Just because, though, that they lived there 300 years doesn't mean that there isn't a threat of the jungle continuing.
Is a threat, but they're also... They also don't have to fight it as hard.
Right.
Everybody else is fighting it really, really hard. They don't have to. Now, granted, it's all because of location.
Yes.
And not because, we've changed the way we deal with this, or we changed the way we deal with that. They're basically like, we leave the forest alone, and the forest leaves us alone. And we coexist. And, everybody else is like, yeah, we can't do that. Like, we're dying at a super fast rate. So,
we need some extreme measures. Necessarily know better. Well, at least their technique, they don't know why. I don't remember.
Basically,
find out more later about what the jungle is doing.
Right.
Yeah. The jungle is actually the way the earth is saving itself.
Well, you also find out right before Nausicaa leaves as a hostage, she had mentioned to Lord Yeppa that she had a secret base that she made. She wanted to show it to him. And then he goes to see her when she basically goes, I'll be a hostage for you. Like, don't touch them. I'll go.
I must sacrifice myself.
Pretty much. Before she does that, the little squirrel thing is scratching
at the wall.
Digging at the wall.
He's like, oh, what's this? He puts his hand on the wall, the door opens up, and I'm just like, oh, you little narc.
Okay, I gotta say something about this thing. You know, she meets the potato? The squirrel Pikachu.
It's like Tato, Teto. We can call it Tato. That's fine by me.
Well, Tater Tot. I don't remember. Oh, right. One of the old guys brought him home, but then
it did.
Jumps on me and she lets it bite her finger. Oh, he's just scared. It's fine. Well, fine. You can get rabies.
Yeah.
I found that part funny too because it's like it's got all its fur up and it's obviously doing the scared like I'm stuck in a corner thing that cats do.
Yeah, and just don't move.
Right. And she doesn't really, but she's just like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. She puts her finger out and it bites her. And then there's just this look that goes between her and Tater Tot. And
Tater's just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then they're friends.
Rude of me.
Don't let let wild animals stick their teeth in you.
Yeah. Don't do that. Well, to be quite honest, they're already the world itself is being poisoned. So
super rabies.
Yeah. So what difference does it make if she gets bitten by one or not?
I don't know. She's the princess. She holds everything together somehow.
Well, you would think that like her being the princess and everything, like she'd be immune to everything, and she's not.
But that's why she's technically a Disney princess, though.
Has she...
Oh no, bullets. My one weakness.
Yeah, right. Because it was something that was proven by MatPat. It was Film Theory on YouTube. And they have a channel where it's basically shown that as long as a woman is wearing a dress and has a pet. That's the only requirements for Disney Princess.
Well, it has to be owned by Disney, and Lisa is, I guess.
Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Technically, Klinger from MASH is a Disney princess.
Yeah.
It's an animal friend.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was an episode where he had a Toto and a picnic basket.
Was it a real dog, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Here you go.
I win.
Wait a minute. Radar had to try on the dress they were sewing for. Wasn't he the mannequin standing in for the dressmaker for the wedding?
Well, yeah, with the Korean wedding, yeah.
And he has plenty of animal friends, like those rabbits that he was raising. So
the Klingers wanted.
Did he wear a henna?
Huh?
Sorry, going. Never mind. Don't listen to me.
A player came in. It was all like, "This is my."
You're working my side of the street.
Yeah. When he was standing in the dressmaker dummy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, at least I know we tangent a little bit, but you know.
It's fine. No, it's fine. It's
see, she technically, with those rules, she technically is a Disney princess.
But yeah. It's really a dress. It's more like a short top.
I don't really count it as a dress. I count it as more of a, like, almost like a I don't want to call it a poncho either. It's like a long shirt. It's like a really long shirt.
Almost a jumpsuit, not really. But we're talking about her normal garb with the shells on her chest, pants on,
and leg warmers, and
looks a little like Mega Man.
A little bit like Mega Man. Yep, definitely.
Go, girl, Mega Man, go!
Wouldn't that be Roll?
Huh? I'm not familiar with Mega Man stuff.
I was gonna say, we're getting into my territory. I know Mega Man.
But she shows Lord Yuppa. She shows Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Mustache.
Her underground lab.
For a half second I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
Nope, her underwear?
I was like, ew. She shows him
her underground lab that she's been growing the toxic plants using well water and soil from the well. And the plants are growing not poisonous. So she's showing that the environment is fixing itself, which honestly fits the narrative of nuclear fallout.
It's the surface that's still toxic. It's underground that's still getting better.
That's exactly how nuclear fallout works. For nuclear fallout, it takes 35 years. In this world is 300, but it takes 35 years for nuclear fallout to actually become okay enough for that human beings can live back on the Earth again.
But this takes place 1,000 years after that 7 days burning.
Super radiation.
It happens 1,000 years after the seven years burning, which is from the big giant monster things, but it's only been 300 years since the toxic jungle has started taking over.
Listeners, if you do hear a cat wailing in the background, it's just our cat.
That's fine, because if you hear a small dog whining, there's one at my feet right
Chino's
now.
Chino's been whining pretty hard. If that comes up on the recording, it's because he's a needy little bastard.
We have elderly pets. Yeah. This is what happens.
Yeah.
Go eat your food, Chino. Stop pretending we don't feed you, because we do.
Oh, now they're on the ship, and then there's the gunship shaped kind of like a pistol, but here's a pistol. Let's put wings on it.
Yep.
It's a gunship. It is quite literally a gunship.
You will notice this in other Miyazaki films that are coming up, specifically one other one where there are other gunships. His designs don't change.
What's aerodynamics? I don't understand
his ship design does not change in other movies.
it's like the steampunk idea. Just add enough engines to it, and it doesn't matter if you're flying a giant brick.
Miyazaki does not like mecha. Flat out doesn't like it. Not his deal. He doesn't.
Howl's Castle is a mecha.
He doesn't like traditional mecha.
Okay.
He doesn't like Gundam and things like that. He's not a fan. So his versions of airships and machinery, it's very old school, very almost steampunky. in looks.
Bulky and bulbous. Bulky
and obviously, like, ratcheted together and...
Not sleek.
Not sleek at all. No. Yeah, not
even. Aerodynamics? What's that?
The only things that you'll find that are sleek in this are, like, her glider.
Yeah.
Her glider's pretty sleek. And that's...
Yeah, but that's powered by blue stuff.
It's
powered by Whimsy. It's powered
by...
Plot.
Yes, it's powered by plot. I would like to go dig deep and be like, well, there's solar energy and then there are rechargeable batteries, but I'm not going into that right now because that's not how this movie works.
It's powered into the sky.
It's powered by the power of princess.
Oh god, a princess. Oh my god. Where were we? Oh,
but she's in the plane and she's being transferred to Tomekia. And suddenly, this random person shows up in this magenta-looking plane.
And basically, Asbel shows up in the swordfish, and anyone who's watched Cowboy Bebop knows what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
And just absolutely wrecks the Tomekian fleet. Just destroys it.
By himself, in a cloud. Like, what's really funny is I got such Top Gun, like, flashbacks. Because I was like, it's Bogey! It's Bogey at 1 o'clock! It's Bogey! Like, that's like, I kept yelling at him.
Talk to me, Goose.
And what's funny is, Nausicaa is the first person to see it. Yeah. Because they're all like, nobody's gonna come hit us. We're the Tomekians. We're the big shots. We already killed everybody. And then they get owned.
Wait, did they do this while they're doing that?
Yes. And then Asbel comes and just fucks all their shit up. And Nausicaa's like, fuck this noise, I need to live. So she jumps on her glider and, no, she doesn't jump on her glider. She jumps in the gunship.
Well, she's like really forced into it by, I don't know, something makes... Oh, because isn't she hanging on for the old guy? Whoever
old guy? Yeah, there's somebody she's trying to save, and then she ends up saving the princess as well. But she jumps... Basically, she runs through the fire to get to the gunship. And then in the gunship, it's her and the old guy whose name I cannot for the life of me remember. And then the princess ends up showing up, and she shoves the princess in, like, the wheel well of the front seat of the gunship, and they take off.
Why would a princess have authority over an army? Wouldn't she be a queen? I kept thinking she was a queen until they made a comment, your princess isn't like our princess.
I believe she's in line for the throne. They go over it very, very briefly. That because she even mentions on how her husband, her eventual husband's going to have a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
because she's apparently missing more than just an arm.
Bugs. How come bugs eat her, but they're all cool with our princess, the hero princess?
Because our princess is apparently
Dr. Doolittle.
Yes,
our princess isn't a giant piece of shit. Oh wait, did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Dan doesn't like the princess.
I do not like Princess Uma Thurman at all.
No, well, it's also this particular princess, you know, happens to have her name in the front of the book. So like Harry Potter, she's going to be okay.
Yeah, of course. But so the gunship takes off, but Nausicaa ends up jumping onto her glider, if I remember correctly, because they start going down. Below the cloud line into the toxic desert. Because she ends up taking, they end up shooting down Asbel.
Everybody gets shot, I guess.
Everybody gets shot. Asbel starts going down, and so did the gunship. They get down into the toxic, jungle. And they meet up with another plane that's downed down there.
So it was the glider with Mito and the others.
Yeah.
And Mito is the old guy whose name you couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Edward James Olmos plays it, is the voice of him.
But he, they get down there, they meet these three guys who they kept telling him, get rid of your cargo and you can basically fly. Like, get rid of your cargo because you're too heavy.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, such a waste of money. It's like, just fucking get rid of it. Do you want to die? Because suddenly all the Ohm are coming to them. Because
imagine if this was a modern day movie, it would basically be delete my search history.
Pretty much.
You'd rather die than keep your... Well, no, I don't
want to. It's like, destroy my hard drive.
Well, basically, Noska's like, I'll hold them off. You guys take off. I'll meet you in an hour.
And if then, I'm not back in an hour, go home. And she is very much not back in an hour.
No, she's not. No. She ends up further in, and she ends up meeting Asbel, and they have a long discussion about life.
And she cries on the floor. Oh, wait, that's after.
That's later.
Oh, okay.
But basically, they realize that where they are, where they end up, is underground and that the air is clean.
They don't have to use masks. And
the plant life is pure. Yeah.
Well, all the trees around are petrified because she said the tree is dead, but she hears water leaking around in it.
Yeah. Oh, look, a tree. I don't know why that was so funny, but like one of the scenes just started just a tree. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, look, a tree, and just lost it. we might have been inebriated.
I was a little inebriated. But basically, after the two of them talk about, you know, life and the universe and everything, we decided to knock shit over.
Knocked over my controller.
I did.
How? You didn't even touch it.
I don't know. I'm magic.
Good lord.
You also princess.
They decide that they're going to go back to Hedget because he's I don't think he's of the royal family, but he's his sister. No, his sister wasn't his sister the princess? So he might actually be from the royal family. His twin sister was the girl that died in the
I'm not certain, like, while writing this, I'm not certain he understood what princess meant, because, like, it seems like every female in the movie is a princess of some description.
I think they're supposed to be, like, the leader's kids.
Okay.
Mm.
And the opposing leader, the one who comes, the mother of the, somebody wants to help her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Basically what happens is they decide to go back to Pedget, and basically get them to help save the Valley of the Wind. They get back to Pedget and realize that that place is eradicated. It's already dead. The jungle has taken over, and that's because monsters were lured there and literally just basically ate everybody. And
don't they die and stick around and then release spores?
Yes. When they die, they release spores and then the jungle continues. So Asbel realizes that his entire tribe, family, everything is dead, he gets very emotional. But then this airship shows up and you find out that there are refugees from Pedget and they're very happy to see him. And then they realize that he's with Nausicaa and who Nausicaa is. And they're like, oh, well, we're planning to take them down anyway. We're taking them down because they have, the Tomekians have the Attack on Titan guy. And so, we need to get that back. So you guys are in the way. So we sent a bait bug to you, and we're sending all of the bugs to the valley so that basically the valley is destroyed. Sorry.
And will that allow them to seize control of the of the giant? Or...
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to seize control of the giant again because they feel that the Tolmekians are going to use it for not just, you know, killing the forests or whatever, but basically global domination. And they're like, well, we're the lesser of two evils.
Oh, man, Lee.
See, that like fantasy casting.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, we're the lesser of two evils. Sorry, you guys are just stuck in the middle. It's bad. And Asbel's like, what the fuck? If it wasn't for her, like, A, I wouldn't have been back here, and B, we wouldn't be able to actually come up with any sort of plan or anything like that. Like, she's here to help. And they're like, yeah, no. And then they knock her out, and they knock him out, and they basically put them on the ship, tie her up, and throw her in a room.
Yeah, we've already decided to make this really bad decision, and we're just going to keep doing it.
Yep. So as she's sitting in a room, and she's like, you know, broken, miserable, like, she can't do anything, she's stuck. This lady comes in with another girl to bring her food, and you find out that this woman is Asbel's mom, and that a lot of the people that are involved in the refugees are against the plan that they're going with, and they want to let her go to give her a chance to warn her people to save themselves. And so they put another girl in her place, and they basically give her her glider and say, go ahead.
And this scene, I was wondering, refugees, I'm like, what is, that is probably the easiest design to make an escape convincing. Because everybody looks the same.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They have similar, like, shawls, head cover things.
Yeah, but it's like, if I looked at it, I'm like, every, okay, yeah, we'll go, we're, like, okay, yeah.
Random.
Remember Pidget? Pidget? They're basically a sand oriented.
They're a desert culture, so turbans and headscarves.
And headscarves and coverings. And,
like, loose linen clothing and stuff like that.
Rest, it's just like the facial features all look the same as well.
Yeah, well, that's a very Miyazaki thing.
Miyazaki can draw three faces, so
yeah. But I mean, you put those and you see that it's almost like it reminded me of, like, I think it was a bit from Scrubs where the school they went to, they tried to show diversity, or they had issues, say, of a Turk on the cover of the pamphlet twice. You know, so like, when you see this, it's just like they're
photo.
To show diversity, they just put him twice in the school
photos. See, you always see those. It's like it's always the multicultural group of friends that are hanging out in the quad, when in reality in college, everyone's just doing their own shit and freaking out about midterms.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean,
I gotta say though, I kind of wish the factions had, at least when it came to like the regular villager peasants, had a little more distinguishing like colors or styles.
I agree. I kind of wish that Pidget, kind of like Asbel himself, he's slightly darker skinned.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to have
desert culture
pigmentation.
Yeah,
but I was thinking along the lines of like the clothes of the commoners. I'm like, are these people from the valley, or who are these refugees? I'm lost. Because the people in the valley have the same exact clothes and colors.
Like the Pidgeot, like the males of the Pidgeot tend to look like they have like a lot of rivets in their clothes, a lot of like leathers. Whereas the valley, it was again a lot of browns, a lot of leathers, but not as much like riveting. It seemed
they weren't warriors. That's the thing. The Valley of the Wind, they don't really have any warriors. Not really. They're more of a peaceful farmer type community. Pidget was not, and had a military, was standing its own ground, but was dying quickly because the environment was killing them. And then you have the Tolmekians, which are basically, you know,
strong warrior culture,
knights. They have metal armor. They're more technologically advanced than any of the other, clans.
It's Garlemald. it's Garlemald from 14, and literally I'm the only one here who would understand that.
Yes.
So.
But, like, so you've got Noska, and she's flying home, and she realizes that there's a sea of red in front of her. And it's because it's a bunch of Ohm that are enraged.
And when they get angry, all of their various eyes start to glow.
Glow red.
Glow red.
So she's got the sea of red around her.
From Mufasa.
Yes. Yes. But she finally gets farther enough her head where she sees like this, like, the only way I could describe it is, you know, Mario World, you know, the clown thing that flies around.
Oh, that's what I said. Yeah.
Lakini.
Yeah. It's the ship that Koopa is sailing at the end of Mario. Yeah.
You're thinking Lakitu.
Lakitu.
And he's in a cloud.
Okay.
The clown car is Bowser from Mario World.
Okay.
Had the clown car.
Hey, I said Mario World. I was in the right direction.
Yeah.
But that's all I could think of was this thing that's flying ahead of them. And it's literally holding a baby Ohm that has been drilled into. So it's bleeding and Ohms bleed blue. And it's literally like crying out for its mother, father, family, whatever.
However Ohms reproduce.
and it's basically enraged all of the other Ohms because this poor baby is basically being tortured and bleeding to death.
Not like bugs.
Right?
Don't they just lay a bazillion eggs and be like,
and then fuck off. Yeah, usually. But so this thing is crawling away, flying away, and so she gets there and she basically jumps on him. And
she ninja kicks the fucker.
She ninja kicks him and she's like,
shoot her.
You can't do this. And
happens to make a pose that looks like the pilot boy's dead sister or something.
Yeah, because she's standing on the glider. She puts her arms out like Rose during Titanic.
And she's dressed in Pedgite clothes.
She's dressed in Pedgite clothes.
So that's what's going to throw them off.
So they think that she's the other princess. And they kind of slow down. And she manages to knock them off their game. And she starts basically yelling at them, like, you can't do this. Like, how could you do this to a baby? I kind of glossed over the fact that we had a slight little flashback of her befriending an Ohm, like a baby Ohm, and she was taking care of it when she was a child. And her father literally, like, ripped it away from her and went to kill it, going, you know that this is what you have to do. You know that this is what you're
doing. Humans can never get along.
Right, like, basically just throwing it in her face that you can't be nice. Stop being nice. Niceness dies. Gets you killed.
He didn't actually say that, though.
No, but that's implied.
But humans and bugs, they can't get along.
Yeah, we're two separate things.
It's an ugly planet. A bug planet. The only good bug is a dead bug.
But she basically gets the two of them to fuck off. And she tries to
glide away with the baby.
Glide away with the baby. And she gets pretty far. And in the meantime, the princess, the other princess, Gold Princess, Uma Thurman Princess, she has decided that she's going to, not only does she get back to the Valley of the Wind.
She's just going to slaughter everybody there for, I don't know, giggles?
She decides that she's going to use the big Attack on Titan thing.
Oh no, she's attacking the people holed up in the old airship.
Yes.
And then they realize that the thing's coming, so they're like, she's like, okay, I'll be right back, and goes and gets the half-cooked, like, titan of laser breath, or whatever. And she's like, this'll be fine, everything will be fine.
I just love that it's not fully baked when she opens it up.
Kind of melting.
It doesn't matter that it's just a torso, who gives a shit?
It's enough to have two zaps.
Yep.
Oh, I should mention, I noticed the horrible crawling bug sounds. They sound like a Geiger counter.
They do.
Uh-huh.
Sounds intentional.
Yep.
It must have been.
So I'm telling you, this is all basically nuclear fallout. But anyway, she decides she's going to go after the Ohm that are coming, because the sea of red finally shows up, like, at the doorstep. And she's like, oh, fuck, they're coming. Okay. I've been dealing with these refugees who are holed up in this shell of a ship that can't be penetrated. And so let's go and just kill all these Ohm that are coming. So she releases the Kraken, and the Kraken
gets cut two decent shots off, and then melts. It falls the fuck apart.
Then it melts, and I was just like, you didn't bake it long enough. It's still gooey in the middle. Oh, it's now it's gooey everywhere else, too.
It's like you were trying to make stuffing, but you took it out too early, and now it's goopy.
I just love the fact that it starts, like, melting on top of her.
Oh, no.
She gets it on her armor.
And she has the nerve to look surprised, and then runs away.
I would think that would be, like, boiling hot meat, too.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's
quick growth, wouldn't that? I don't know. All I know is in Attack on Titan, there's a lot of steam involved.
Yes. So that's why, when I saw this thing initially, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Being lava
thing's going to eat people and not being able to poo it out.
It's the slop titan.
Because they don't have, you know, digestive systems.
Or
why
anuses.
Attack on Titan? Why?
Why did we go into this kind of detail in Attack on Titan? Because you, that's why.
It makes the carnage more and more senseless.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I get it. It's still just like...
And they throw it up, I think.
They do. They hawk up...
It's owl
like
pellets.
...balls oh, of God. Human people, like bits of them.
For no reason.
None whatsoever. Because you get this whole thing with Aaron later where he gets eaten by a titan and he's inside the digestive tract and there is no digestive tract. It's like, why? Why are you doing this? Why?
Too much.
I've learned some things about Aaron in later seasons that I'm not going to say out loud because it's spoiler.
I know a lot about it. But anyway. Princess Mononoke, I mean, Nausicaa shows up. And she's got the baby Ohm, and she stops basically in front of this sea of red, angry Ohm, and she's trying to, like...
Engaging.
Yes, she tries to engage them, but it doesn't work. And they literally run over her. They run over her, they throw her in the air, she falls into, like, the huge group of them.
And then they just descend on the valley and they basically destroy everything.
And you've got the poor Valley of the Wind refugees standing back watching this.
And they're all gathered on top of the wreck of this old like military ship, and the kids are like, Obaba, are we gonna die? And Obaba's like, yup.
Right, yeah.
More or less.
They're like, yep, kids, we're fucked.
Yeah, there's no point in running.
Okay. We're all fucked. And then suddenly you get, like, this cutscene where Nausicaa is, like...
Oh, all the bugs, their eyes turn blue, and they all turn towards...
From, like, the center, too. And it's really, I think, the art here part, anyway, is really well done. Because you see the sea of red, and then you see just the small patch of blue that starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In the sea of red, so you know that obviously something's up.
It's like at a concert where you see just one lighter, and then it just spreads across the entire crowd.
They don't do lighters anymore.
I know, it's all goddamn cell phones.
It's your flashlight now. Your cell phone. Sorry, they don't really let lighters inside anymore. It depends on the venue, but they don't really let lighters inside.
You know, back in my day,
lighters can cause fires.
Yeah,
they don't allow caps on water bottles either.
Arson. You mean crème brûlée.
And then the tentacles.
So Dan thought this movie was taking a turn.
Yeah, when the tentacles all started happening, I'm like, nope, I've seen this.
And I was
like, no,
it's not like that. And tentacles come out and they basically heal Nausicaa.
They're many fingers.
Yes. She, you know, she wakes up and realizes that, like, the Ohm are around her and everything's, you know, okay. And she's surrounded by all these tentacles. Their tentacles are, like, golden.
They heal her wounds because she's been shot in the shoulder and the foot. beforehand.
Damage.
What?
She got thrown up high in the air. Those things
are tall. She's been, basically she was like run over by Ohm. So she's got a lot of injuries. They heal her injuries, and then when she wakes up, she sees the baby Ohm, and the baby Ohm is fine. Like, I guess he was healed as well. So you've got, you know, them all together, and she's like lifted up by the tentacles, and because the tentacles are golden, and now her dress is now dyed blue because it's, again, it's the blood of the Ohm.
So she's held up on like a golden field, and she's dressed in blue.
In blue, and
it's the prophecy. Oh Jesus! Oh Jeebus!
And then suddenly Obama is like,
and like Nausicaa is like bug Jesus.
Yep, Nausicaa's bug Jesus, and
Jesus,
and she's Jesus. But everything kind of wraps up nicely after this. The bugs
haven't happened to the little critter, Tato.
Yeah.
Tater Tot.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine. Yeah. He's just hanging out the whole time.
Die and turn into a beam of energy, and then Tato has to die too, or be left alone. Oh, good. She's alive, so it's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine here. How are you?
The Pejet people end up showing up. And they actually decide to stay in the Valley of the Wind to help them rebuild. And that's when she starts telling them about how when she was deep inside the jungle, the toxic jungle, she found that it's now starting to purify. So that there's hope.
So they have to let the toxic jungle do its thing, otherwise the planet's not gonna
heal itself.
Yeah. The trees absorb it from the soil and the water, right. And then she said that they fossilize, but yeah, that doesn't happen that fast.
It
crumbles into sand, and then the sand, I guess, is cleaned because the poison's neutralized, and that was the whole deal with the when they fell into the quicksand, just led to the underground through the big dead branches.
Yes, it's basically its own filtration system. It's a poison filtration system. And everybody who's on at least their side can live peacefully over in the Valley of the Wind because, again, it's near the water. But, you know, basically it's livable here while the planet heals itself.
Oh, and the bugs were aggressive because they were supposed to keep the people from
entering the jungle because they're trying to protect it so it can heal itself. Essentially. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It ends with like a slight like talk over from Nausicaa basically going, okay, so this is how the world's gonna be now, and we're seeing the bit in the toxic jungle where she was at where it's purified. And that there's a sprout.
A sprout coming up from right underneath her mask was discarded.
Yeah. That was a good touch. I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And for I to say, though, for the slowness of it, it seemed like it wrapped up pretty quick.
Yeah, it wrapped up very quickly.
Yeah, but like they wrapped up, but they kind of ran out of ideas for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We got to end it, you know?
Well, they solved the problem.
True. Yeah, it seemed to be speeding up a lot, though.
Like I said, it's very much environmental. You know, humans caused this problem, but the Earth will always fix itself if you leave it the fuck alone.
Similar to WALL-E.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. It's very similar to WALL-E, except this was first.
Right, yeah. Which there was a lot of... I gotta wonder, though, if people were passing notes and finding things. I know this movie inspired a lot of people.
This movie inspired a lot of stuff.
There's some stuff that's very specific from, you know, I noticed, I remember from watching WALL-E.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, quite a bit. Like, it almost made, like WALL-E is, like, you know, British UK versus US, British office versus the US office.
Yeah.
I think it's a basic kind of plot. It's nothing super unique.
No, but they took so much from it. That's exactly my point.
Oh, when you say take so much, it's like, oh, they copied. That's what it sounds like.
Well, it's because, like, okay, you've got you've got a dystopian future where the world has been torn apart by humans, and then you have the Earth healing itself as long as you leave it alone, but you have outside factors that are still on Earth that are not necessarily helping anything.
Right.
And well, once we go to the spaceship to get Eve's plant thingy. Oh, right. Wait, that's because she found a plant.
She hid the plant in there in her.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just, you can't just say Wall-E copied a lot of
it. I didn't say it copied, I just said there was a lot from it.
Well,
it took a lot of ideas from it.
Yeah.
You also have to remember that the sci-fi genre is not that old. It really isn't.
Well, the first sci-fi novel was Frankenstein.
Well, yeah. Okay, no, they actually call that more the first horror, not so much sci-fi.
I think there was an story about fighting on other planets or something. But,
Jules Verne kind of kickstarted it with like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, The Time Machine, things like that. But then you have authors like Isaac Asimov, who kind of sort of pioneered the way science fiction actually comes about. Speaking specifically Asimov, I believe it was him or it was a short story in one of his magazines that actually kickstarted cloning.
Really?
Yes. No, for real. It was not just cloning, but artificial insemination. Because artificial insemination was literally sci-fi before it was science.
That's true.
The thought of impregnating someone with something from outside the body was hinted at and written about before it was actually put into I think it was in the 1940s, maybe earlier than that.
No.
But
Mary, and yes. She's got a baby.
I agree.
That kind of technically counts.
Yeah, you got it.
Like so the things like IUDs.
Yeah.
IUDs were science fiction before they were science fact.
Right.
It's just, there's a lot, but like I said, it's not that old. It yes. really isn't. And especially post-apocalyptic stuff, that kind of jump-started in the 70s.
Right.
Things like The Road Warrior and other stuff like that kind of highlighted it a little bit, but you weren't going to find that much about post-apocalyptic stuff, especially in like a sci-fi sort of genre. You were not going to find it that much back then.
Planet of the Apes.
I said the 70s.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the 60s?
No, I believe Planet of the Apes, if Charlton Heston, it might have been 68. I actually watched these movies relatively recently.
Planet of the Apes was based on a book. I don't know when the book was.
I find out.
Where are we going with this?
We wrapped up.
Just that, you know, a lot of other in the future things took inspiration from this movie.
Okay.
The book of Planet of the Apes was written in 1963, and the movie came out in 1968. Yeah, I wasn't wrong.
Dang.
Yes, some of these things I know. Charlton Heston. That's why I know it. Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, do we have any policy casting to jump into?
I mean, not really. I think for next week, I can probably put together like an IMDb game based on whatever celebrities are in Totoro.
Yeah.
You can figure something out that way. Because.
Star Trek cast.
I was like, was Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Next gen?
Okay. So, all right. Since Mito seemed to be his kind of second-in-command guy, that would be Riker.
That'd be Riker. God, that's changed things so much.
So, is Nausicaa, like, what's her...
Nausicaa's Wesley. I mean, Wesley Crusher did ultimately become Space Jesus, so, I mean, it kind of works.
Oh, God! I was thinking, like, Betazoid mind powers.
Oh, Deanna Troi.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Oh, good. But that would have to make I would have to say Asbel would be Riker then.
Hmm.
I mean, okay, Asbel. I guess. I suppose. Oh God, who was that recurring? Or was she in Voyager? That was the constant shit. Like Tasha Yar's clone.
I don't know.
That was a Romulan.
The only thing
and she kept Sela, Empress Sela. That would be Princess. You know, Princess. I make terrible decisions.
See, I saw when I saw her, I kept thinking of Seven of Nine.
The warrior faction. They'd be Klingons.
Okay, Seven was cool though.
I loved Seven of Nine. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I loved her.
Seven is amazing.
But it's I don't know if it's because of the hair. I don't know. I just kept
or the robot parts. I mean, that'll do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that too.
Really? Right in front of my nanoprobes? Really?
So then what are the giant bugs?
Species 8472.
You know that off the top of your head. You're such a nerd.
They were later called the Undyne. They come from fluidic space and they're at war with the Borg.
Fluid?
Yeah, they're okay. From fluidic space and they're at war with the Borg. They're the only species the Borg is afraid of. I watch too much Star Trek.
So the
nerd.
So the Valley of the Wolves.
Nick's dying.
Then
I killed Nick.
Those are the warriors, and then we need a third faction for the not as good as the Valley, but not as evil as the warriors.
The Klingons?
I'd be the Romulans, probably.
Ooh, the Romulans, yeah.
Yeah, because, like in Star Trek, we've got humans are humans, Vulcans are space elves, Klingon are space orcs, and yeah. Romulans are space dark elves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Romulans and Vulcans are
basically the same.
They're from the same initial...
But the Romulans are,
I suppose...
With emotions?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know where the plot would go, but...
I haven't a clue. It'd be one of the weird episodes, probably a holodeck episode.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Where Moriarty comes to life again and tries to take over the ship.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's when the holodeck malfunctioned.
Mm-hmm. Mean every time the holodeck was used?
Yeah, right.
It malfunctioned. Because that's the entire purpose of the holodeck.
Yeah.
That shit breaks.
Or what about what about the episode at Orville with Bordas got into porn?
I still haven't watched Orville.
Oh,
I've seen something bits funny because you really should watch it.
I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't sat down and watched it. Okay. The problem with the Orville for me
is it's more Star Trek.
Oh no, it's nothing to it. It's the problem the Orville has is not the Orville's fault. It's
right.
The fact that the internet has ruined me and I have the attention span of a particularly dim goldfish.
Yeah.
And I can't handle more than like a YouTube video. So I can't just sit and like binge watch a show because my brain just starts going, "Well, what's over there? What's this?
Yeah.
What's that? Oh shit, the thing's still on? I missed something. What happened?" Yeah, I am infuriating to watch a show with. I can't do it.
Trick is to be super tired and too tired to move.
Yeah, and then I fall asleep.
And he falls asleep.
Yeah.
Because he's not like me where his body is super tired, but his brain is awake.
Oh, my brain is awake. It's just my body has decided, you know what? It's sleepy time now. We're going away.
I'm going
to go over there.
I don't have this ability. It's a magical ability that I just do not have.
To get a very tiring job like mine, like a physically exhausting job, and you'll sleep whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
It's not really a sleep when it's a coma.
Yeah. Yeah, mental physical exhaustion could do it. I had a few jobs that made me do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, my problem is when I'm mentally exhausted, I want to do everything I can to get my mind away from it. And I have such anxiety going to sleep that it creates a vicious, vicious circle.
I'm sorry about that.
That's the way my brain works. I'm used to it. But anyway, that was Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind.
Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, I hadn't seen it. And I know I like Miyazaki stuff, especially considering the fact that look up Hayao Miyazaki as a person. He is the angriest, grumpiest, kind of nihilistic, everything sucks and I hate everything kind of person. And yet he makes such beautiful, glorious, positive stuff.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the coin, we have Junji Ito, who is basically a pastel goth in real life. And then you look at the shit that they make, and it's like, holy fuck, what happened to you?
Yeah. Yeah. He found his hole in the mountain.
Yeah, it's mine.
That's like a person-shaped hole without thinking about that.
Yeah.
All right, so next week
is My Neighbor Totoro.
My Neighbor Totoro.
One of us.
You know, I think the edible has kicked in.
Yeah.
Because my mouth is going faster than my brain. I think I need to stop.
Yeah, mine kicked in about a half hour ago. I caught myself staring at myself there going, whoa.
It's like, who's this dude on the... Oh, shit, it's me, dude.
All right, stop collaborating.
We should probably wrap up before we...
Before we get too silly.
Before this turns into a full giggle fit.
And put the poor listener to sleep.
So if you do listen as well as you sleep, we're happy to help. How the hell we get to download? We don't really care.
Share it.
I'll say again, and if you listen to this to sleep, I am so sorry for my voice because that can't help.
It happens to put people in a good mood.
Well, you try to go fall asleep, and then maybe Chino barks or something, and then you'd be like,
"There's a dog in here."
Oh, like me with Halloween.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Be good. Take care of yourself, but don't be too good now.